So today in the meditation, we're going to do something radical. We're going to control the breath. And this is along the lines of Sally's response to the question yesterday morning about sort of three different ways of relating to the breath. And Sally emphasized that especially in doing concentration practice, where the qualities of piti and sukha are definitely to be cultivated front and center, we are going to use the breath in a way that may make the experience of sitting more comfortable. So this is just something for you, again, like all our instructions so far, for you to try on and see if you like it. If it doesn't work for you, there's no need to continue it. If it does work for you, it's something you could do in every sitting. I do it quite often in my daily practice and in my retreat practice because I've found it helpful. And this is not just some new age, you know, yoga innovation that we're bringing in and dumping on you to mix traditions. This was taught, I think I mentioned the other day, to Ajahn Tanisaro by his Thai teacher, who was Ajahn Phuong, who learned it from his teacher, Ajahn Lee Damodaro. And we'll put out a book list at the end of the retreat, and I'll highlight both the books by Tanisaro Bhikkhu and by Ajahn Lee that explain this in more detail and why it's helpful, why it has been passed down. So I think with that as introduction, we can go ahead and move into the meditation. We're going to do the preliminary entry into the meditation the way that we've been doing it, with body, sounds, simple attention to breath. Because I think this is just such a useful way to go into any sitting. And then I'll add the instructions for some degree of directing the breath. So please sit comfortably. Find that balance in your posture of being upright, energetic, alert, and at the same time, relaxed, grounded, supported. Becoming aware of your whole body posture and sitting. As it were, taking it in with a glance from the top of the head right through the feet. So you have the sense of the body as a unit, an organic unit. Not so much watching the body as feeling the body throughout. The attention is throughout the body. Sensations are being known. And then opening the attention wider in a 360-degree way to take in all the sounds that are coming and going. Sounds from inside, sounds from outside. And if there aren't any sounds at any time, just being aware of the extent of the silence. And then when a sound does arise, notice that it's heard without any effort on your part. Just arises and hearing takes place. So if we just rest with a receptive attitude, all the sounds are heard spontaneously. Then bringing that same receptive attitude back into the experience of the body, taking in the fullness of the sitting posture, felt from inside, and as you feel the body, start to notice the sensations that are connected with breathing. With an in-breath, certain sensations take place, and the body feels a certain way. With an out-breath, different sensations arise, and the body feels differently. Notice that the impact of a breath can be felt beyond the simple areas where you know the air is entering or leaving. Nose, throat, lungs. But the influence of the in-breath in a way spreads the energy throughout the body. Remembering that pana in Pali links to prana in Sanskrit, which is an ancient term for the life force or energy. We can feel that energetic upswelling with the in-breath. And on the out-breath, feel some energetic calming or release. So now let's play a little bit with these energetic qualities. And the first thing that I'll suggest that you do, you can just try it on, is to take several long and deep in-breaths and relax fully on the out-breath. Try a few deliberately long inhalations, fill the lungs with air. And then consciously letting it all go and relaxing on the out-breath. Breathing in long and feeling the energy rise. Breathing out long, feeling the release. and relax. In your own meditations, if this is interesting, you can keep this deep breathing going for a while. I sometimes have done as much as 5 minutes at the start of a sit to help with settling. Here we'll make it shorter so that we can play with the other instructions. And one last. Big inhale and full exhale. And now in this next part of the guiding, we're going to take the breath into different parts of the body, cover the whole body in connection with breathing. So this is a little bit of a combination of a body scan with breath. Again, this comes from Ajahn Lee. So I'm going to use a term like breathe into an area of the body. And of course, we don't breathe in through any other area but the nose or mouth. But the sense is, as you take an in-breath, direct your attention into the part of the body that I'm going to name. And as you have the out-breath happen, also feel that part of the body. So I might talk about breathing into the head and breathing out from the head. So just take a nice breath in and feel how it's impacting in the head. So you almost have a sense that the breath is traveling from the nose or the lungs up into the head during that instruction. And breathing out, it travels down from the head and out through the nose or feeling the lungs. So we're just playing with this to see how it works, how it's felt, how it changes our energy, our presence, our ease. What will help the body feel more comfortable and more at ease as we begin a period of meditation? So on the next breath, have the sense that you're breathing into the head. On the in-breath, let your attention cover the whole head area. How is that felt? As the breath comes in, how is that felt in the head? As the breath exits, how is that felt in the head? Breathing in and out through the head. And then the neck. Breathing into the neck. How does that feel? Breathing out from the neck. How does that feel? Breathing into the right shoulder and out. It's as though we're rubbing this part of the body with the energy of the breath. The right upper arm, the right lower arm and hand, breathing in and breathing out. The left shoulder, the left upper arm. The left lower arm and hand. The upper half of the back. Breathing into this area and breathing out. Lower half of the back. The hips. And touch point of the sitting bones with a chair or cushion. Bathing this area with the energy of the breath. The chest and heart center, the heart center is that area just below the breastbone in the center of the chest. The diaphragm, in the abdomen, breathing in to the belly, breathing out from the belly. In the lower abdomen, breathing in and out. The right thigh, the knee, the right knee. The right calf and foot. The left thigh. And knee, the left knee. Left calf and foot. And now just a brief review, expanding the areas a bit, breathing in with attention in the head, breathing out with attention in the head. How is the head touched by the energy of the breath? Both shoulders and both arms. The whole back. Breathing in, breathing out. The chest and belly. The hips and lower abdomen. both legs and feet. And now again, just taking up the whole body as your focus. Feel the whole body with the in-breath. Feel the whole body with the out-breath. Feeling the energy change, uplift and release. Invigorate and relax. And now allowing the breath to be natural and find its own rhythm. You can stay in touch with the whole body if you find that helpful. Feeling the impact of breathing in and breathing out. Or if you're more comfortable being in a narrower focus with the breath, that's fine. Nose, belly, chest, whatever's most suitable for you. Again, the experience is not so much of watching from above, but feeling from within. Feeling the body in breathing. And at this point, feel free to add any of the other techniques we've talked about, such as noting, touch point, counting, or none of them, just staying with the bare direct experience of in and out breathing. this kind of approach of directing the breath, of deliberately breathing in long, deliberately relaxing on the exhale, is something that I think is especially suited to the development of samatha. Because when the body can relax more easily, the mind relaxes more easily. And the instructions from Ajahn Lee are, do what makes the body feel good in this exercise of breathing. Now you realize from the point of view of Vipassana, this is a very slippery slope. We are not sitting on our cushion just to feel pleasant feelings all the time. That's not the point. We want to develop an equanimity of mind in regard to pleasant and unpleasant feelings. But especially in the preparation for a period of sitting meditation, it can be really helpful to start by being as comfortable as we can, because it really allows the mind to settle. So I kind of regard this exercise as an aperitif. And the main course is just paying attention to whatever arises. But of course, we're doing a period right now of specific concentration practice. So you may want to even expand the use of what I would call this preparatory or entry exercise into a period of sitting meditation. Keeping an eye on what allows the body to feel comfortable. And if you can use the breath at times, and I would say in limited times, to support that, then that can be really helpful. So play with it. You know, in my own practice, I would tend to do something like this in the first 5 to 10 minutes of a 45-minute or hour-long period. So I would sort of keep it in that section. And then I would just settle into letting things be the way they are, letting the breath be natural. And the reason that part is important, A, to develop equanimity around pleasant and unpleasant, but B, you don't always want to have to be the meditator directing the experience. You want to get to a point where you let go of doing. We're going to see this even more when we get into the awareness practice. The letting go of any form of doing is really important for the self to step out of the way more and more completely. So, again, the reason to, preparatory, very helpful. Long term, you want to diminish the doing. But we can learn, as you're senior practitioners, you can learn to balance these two halves of practice. So I'll let it go there, and we have a few minutes for questions or comments, if there are any. Yeah, Mia. Can you pull your mask down just out? It'll be a little clearer. Thanks.
So I remember reading about breathing, slowing down the breath, like a length of breath, because in modern days we breathe very shallow and faster. And I practiced it. It was really interesting because when I slow down breath, I move slowly. So with my pace of my life, I cannot do that. I feel like off balance constantly. So my conditioned way of breathing is breathing pretty shallow and fast. So what is your suggestion to slow down breath but moving as fast as I can?
The question is about the rapidity of the breath. She notices that when she slows down her breathing, it brings more calm. But in the midst of daily life, in the midst of moving faster in activity, it's hard to breathe more slowly. I find the same. And so I often make a conscious effort in my daily life when I can to slow down the pace of my movement. And I have to say that, you know, a lot of you did retreats at home during the COVID years. Not that we're out of the COVID years, but we're back in person, which is great, a different phase. And one of the things that I really liked about practicing at home is I could go at my own pace a lot more of the time because I wasn't engaged in so many outside activities. So that became a lesson for me. It really is helpful to slow down the pace of my movement. It really supports the development of mental calm. Now, can you slow down the pace of your breathing while maintaining rapid body movements? That's a good koan. I haven't actually worked with that so much. So I think that's an area for investigation. While you're here, I would tend to keep the body movement slow. Right? You could say, well, this is a laboratory. I'll do my service work really fast and see if I can breathe slowly. But I think the overall benefit will come from slowing down your bodily movements here and letting the body and the calm deepen. At home, you can play with the other half. Yeah, thanks for the question. It's interesting because in the Anapanasati Sutta, one of the first instructions is if breathing in long, one knows one is breathing in long. If breathing in short, one knows one is breathing in short. And I found the same thing when I started to investigate that. If I was breathing in short, which for me meant rapid, I was agitated inwardly. And if I was breathing in long, it was a sign that I was calm inwardly. So what your question indicates is even the pace of the breath can tune us into what our inner mental state is. And that's very helpful to know. Oh, I'm speeded up. Why is that? Oh, yeah, thinking about this or that. So that's a really interesting one. And in the Buddhist teaching, very fundamental thing to pay attention to. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Lisa.
So speaking of the Anapanasati practice, it begins with breathing in long.
Sorry, can you say a little?
It begins with breathing in long. The first step is breathing in long. So yeah. In this kind of understanding of how much, you know, intentionality we bring, like you were saying, the long breath tends to be more calm. It's my sense that with this first step, there is this intentional breathing in. Could it be interpreted that way?
Well, in the Anapanasati Sutta, I don't take it so much as an instruction to do this, but rather to notice what way it's happening. Breathing in long, one understands I'm breathing in long, or breathing in short, one understands I'm breathing in short. So I just hear the Buddha encouraging us to notice which way it's happening, but not to say it should be happening this way or that way. Because he does put the short in as well. So I read it as pretty balanced. Further on in the Anapanasati Sutta, he's definitely pointing to the development of positive qualities. You know, tranquilizing the bodily formation, tranquilizing the mental formation, gladdening the mind, concentrating the mind, and so on. But in these first two stanzas, they seem to me pretty evenly balanced. So I took it as a learning when I started to practice with that. Oh, breathing in long does indicate a calmer frame of mind. Breathing in short indicated a more speeded up frame of mind. But I don't hear the Buddha stressing one over the other. Yeah, thanks. Nancy? Okay. The question is about, as getting more concentrated, sometimes it almost unearths a big stream of thoughts and how to work with it. Some of it seems important, important thoughts, or should one just go back to the concentration, etc. Well, I can't resist passing on a quotation from Joseph, one of my favorites, which is, "Nothing is worth thinking about." And I have to stress, that's in the context of formal meditation practice. Obviously, in our daily life, you know, you had to make plane reservations or get somebody to, you know, water your plants. You had to think about that. But in the context of formal meditation practice, Joseph's bottom line is nothing is worth thinking about, even the most seemingly important things. So I would encourage you, to, as far as possible, let the thoughts go and come back to the simple experience of breathing. And that will continue to deepen the concentration. The fact is that as we get concentrated, we get more sensitive. And when thoughts do arise, they can have more impact. So that's something we'll also talk about. And I'm in the talk tonight, and there is a Dharma talk tonight, by the way. It being Sunday, there's a Dharma talk. I'm going to talk more about working with thoughts in concentration practice. Thank you for the lead-in. Yeah. Okay, quick announcements. There is a talk tonight. Sally will be doing the one-to-one interviews today, so you'll be meeting, those of you who are on for today, meeting with her in the Council House library. And I don't know if we made it clear in the beginning, but each of us will meet with you once a week for the one-to-one interviews. And so this is Sally's day, and she'll meet with a third. I'll meet with those people next time they come around. So the way it works out, everybody will have 4 one-to-one meetings with each of us. So over the course of the month, 4 with me, 4 with Sally. So that's the way it's planned to unfold. And 3 Dharma talks a week. You know, it's a little on the light side if you're used to normal group retreats, but you all love the silence, so you know how to work with it.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.